Let's say good afternoon to Gavin Morris. Hello, Gavin.
Good afternoon. How are we?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very well. Yeah, no, I'm good. I've actually just been flying in my glider. So
have you?
That was lovely. Yes.
Whereabouts did you fly?
I flew in Newcastle off Strez Lecky. It's a nice big cliff, so there's onshore winds, nice little easterly today, and some blue skies there, and quite thermic conditions on the ocean, actually. Those clouds are forming, so some lovely lift happening there. So much moisture in the atmosphere. You can actually feel the humidity today. So that is going to be something that I'm afraid we're going to have to get used to as well. I think it's going to be a very, very humid season ahead.
Let's talk about the announcement yesterday by the Bureau of Meteorology. They confirmed that La Nina event is underway in the Pacific Ocean, and of course that's increasing the likelihood of above average rainfall again during spring and summer in eastern Australia. So is it fair to say, Gavin, we're going to see more of the same, more of what we saw last year and the year before?
Well, they're all different. They all behave differently, and this one is different again, and there's a whole bunch of different factors here that is certainly going to make this a potentially, hopefully, not a disastrous season, but certainly the potential is there at this point. So what's happening at the moment, yes, the Bureau officially announced yesterday that La Nina is back, but as far as the equivalent in Japan and America are concerned, they never considered us out of La Nina. The threshold went to about average and even slightly above for most of the winter, so they didn't budge on it. So La Nina-type weather has been influencing us somewhat. We've had some lovely breaks. There's been incredible rhythm, an amazing trend that is unfolding across Australia at the moment. We have the three driving or climate drivers all interacting with each other now. So we had the Indian Ocean Dipole, which explained on your program, that is basically the La Nina of the west. The sea surface temperatures of the northwest shelf of Western Australia are above average. And you can see what that does. We've continuously seen these large cloud bands, the pulses of moisture surge in from the west over central Australia. The fronts come up from the south, tap into that, and they've been producing these really large rain bands that have heavily been affecting the Murray-Darling food bowl. When it comes from the west like that, most of the rain falls on the western side of the divide. Over here in the east, La Nina, yes, it's back on. Sea surface temperatures again warming in the western Pacific, and that is flowing down and affecting northern, northeastern Australia. So the ocean temperatures there are getting very, very warm. And the third player is Sam, and more wanting to know about Sam now. Sam is those westerly winds that rotate around the South Pole. It's like that giant merry-go-round, again, that explained of that, you know, rotating around the South Pole. Typically, there's a large high-pressure system that sits over Antarctica, and you've got all of these roaring lows that rip around that one after the other after the other, and they spiral off and they collide with southern Australia and they come through. And we've had that continuous trend, and it's like clockwork, Brent, where you've seen these rain bands start off at the beginning of the week over Western Australia, and then by tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, reaches central eastern Australia, makes its way across Queensland, New South Wales, the capital, Victoria. And then it's been clearing in time for the weekend, and that's happening again. Most of this wet weather on the way in the next couple of days will clear by the weekend.
So I see that how the TV stations are delivering the news. Again, they're running footages of the floods that we saw on the north coast and all those sort of things last year. We don't know whether we're going to see repercussions of that again, do we? We'll have to wait and see what the patterns look like.
100%. At the moment, we've got this rhythm where we get these lovely sunny breaks in between, and it's dry, and it's, you know, been quite nice. We've had some beautiful weather come through. So we can only hope that that continues. But the threat, Brent, is like no other, because we've got a very saturated surface here, and all of our rivers, dams, they're either at capacity or they're flowing very hard and fast. There is a lot of moisture on the ground at the moment. So with this setup, you would expect severe weather events to emerge, or rain-bearing events, and we'll have one. We've got that system coming through tomorrow, the next couple of days, over eastern Australia. There's another again, and that's an upper-level cold pool. They're even more dangerous. They all seem to be on the move. They're arriving, and then they're moving on. They're not stalling. Once they stall and sit over the one location for some period of time, that's when they become extremely dangerous and potentially disastrous, because it is a triple La Nina event. three consecutive in a row. So it's very, very wet. And the other major player is that Indian Ocean Dipole working with La Nina. That has produced the wettest periods in history and the biggest rain events. The wettest year was 1974. That was a negative IOD working with a La Nina. And the 54 to 55, 56, the triple La Nina, was the same scenario. And that produced those big floods of Maitland. So we're hoping that it doesn't end like that. We've already seen massive flooding events, but we're expecting Sydney to break its all-time record as well as the wettest year on record. So lots of records I would expect will be broken by the time we reach the end of the year.
Gavin, do La Nina years mean that the summer temperatures are cooler than what they would normally be?
Typically, you have warmer nights. The humidity hangs on to the warmth, so you have those very warm, humid nights. Typically, days are colder than average or cooler than average because you have increased cloud cover, increased moisture in the atmosphere. So when it does heat up, clouds form, then showers, storms form. That's why places like Darwin's never seen a 40-degree day, because during the wet season, that's exactly how it plays up. Super high humidity, very, very warm nights. But the days only max out around about, you know, 35 to 38 degrees. Typically, max out each day around that 36, 37, because there's just too much moisture trapped in the atmosphere, and the cooling effect of the clouds and the showers and the storms comes into play. And also, they've got the trade winds up there as well.
However, a 36-degree, 38-degree day with humidity, my goodness me, you'd need to change your shirt a couple of times a day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, most Australians know what that feels like now. You know, most have travelled to Bali or Fiji or the tropics, you know. It's an incredible, feeling. And once you get acclimatised to it, you know, it fades away, becomes the norm. But when you're making that shift from the dry, cold air of southern Australia to the warm north and the tropics of Cairns and Townsville, it's quite oppressive for the first few days, that's for sure.
All right, mate. Thank you. As always, we love chatting with you. Thank you for making yourself available each and every time. We really appreciate it, Gavin.
My pleasure. Take care. And let's hope next time I talk to you that we're not talking about some disastrous weather event. But look, you know, I would prepare any low-lying areas. You know, if your area is prone to flooding, make the preparations needed right now.
Yeah, good advice. Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye, Gavin. Bye.